I'll feel everybody, I'll feel better when everybody's looking at me. Okay, thank you. Welcome. Just a couple of reminders. This is, we are live streaming this, of course, so I want to say hello to all of you, but also hello to everybody who's watching us from their desks. And just a reminder again that because we go to a great effort to put these meetings together, we really do expect people to be responsible for content that comes out of these meetings, particularly while we're watching sausage being made with all of our planning and strategic initiatives. Today we're going to hear very short presentations about all of them, and I ask each person in turn to be ready to jump up and talk and keep your, I understand that Bruna said 2 minutes each, so that probably means 3 or 4 minutes each. Okay, 2 minutes, okay. You know, don't, anyway, the wrath of Marika if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. A reminder just to turn off all your e-devices because of the everybody out there in cyberland's not going to be happy if your phone is beeping into their computer. So don't forget that people can send in questions from a distance to Bruna, who is live at this very moment and can see how many of you are out there, and it's always entertaining for us to watch that as well. For all the speakers who come up, please stand here because this is where the microphone is, and it's important that everybody be able to hear. If you aren't here, people aren't going to be able to hear you talk. So the first thing I would like to talk about, of course, are the basically the interesting times that we're living in. I think that we have been so well organized here that we could have staged the Normandy invasion and succeeded. But lo and behold, we had a group of demonstrators come into the hustle this afternoon, well, actually this morning, and we didn't know they were coming. Yesterday, we had 15-second updates from security on whether people were taking 3 blocks to the left or 1 block in front or 1 block behind. So we just need to make sure that we stay vigilant. Even though it's becoming commonplace, it's not commonplace. Make sure that you know what to do. Make sure that you call security. And actually, as time goes on, it's going to get a little bit more difficult because students who are trying to study are getting tired of being interrupted, so their tempers are getting shorter, and the demonstrators who are sticking with it are the ones who care most about the cause, so they're likely to be more motivated. So it's really important that we not engage ourselves. That we try to keep, the most important thing is to try to keep anyone from getting hurt. So any demonstration, there are always security guards following people around, and we do have protocols for locking our doors, and everybody in the branches knows when their doors are supposed to be locked as well. Okay, so just as difficult as it is to stay motivated, please stay on your toes. It's really important. Now I'm going to just move straight on to the strategic planning update. And again, please make sure that each person comes up and is ready to speak. Here she comes while we're speaking. First is Natalie.
I usually watch from my desk. Hello, Mac. I know everybody's watching. Okay. Pledge and stewardship, 2 minutes. It's a very, very large group, as you all know. Megan Chalou and I are the co-leads, and we've divided immediately into subgroups to try to tackle all the work that needs to be done, and luckily we have a lot of people with a lot of experience. We have 5 subgroups. So the first group is looking at McGill in terms of, I'm talking so fast I'm losing my breath, in terms of shelving. In terms of collection organizations, so they're going to come up with the methodology that all the branches are going to be using to measure your shelves and to count the amount of books you have and how much space you're using and how much space you're lacking. Group 2 is going to be looking outside in terms of comparable institutions and what they may have done already for storage or for how do they organize their collections, how much space are they giving to study versus shelving. Group three is looking, a large subgroup, is looking at, what are we looking at? We're looking at the actual legacy collections at McGill, what should be kept, what should not be kept, maybe come up with rules of thumb for when it's time to weed, which one should we be keeping, why should we be keeping it. So this is a very large subgroup. Again, a lot of you are going to be asking or being asked for feedback for these subgroups, and they're all going to be informing each other. And finally, the fourth subgroup is looking outside, so what collection stewardship plans have been done at comparable institutions to be informing group three, and also maybe to be looking at some ideas and some solutions. And the fifth group is a small group, but it's a project management group that will ideally try to keep everybody on track time-wise and when things need to get done. That's it.
Thank you. April and Brian, I guess. Oh, this is a duo here. So I'll hold your questions for the end. So if you want to, if you have a collection question, scribble it down. Thank you.
We start by reading the mandate. I'm going to read it as fast as I can. But not too fast. So Brian and I are co-leading the Information Literacy Working Group, and hot off the presses from this morning's meeting is our mandate, which states, the Information Literacy Working Group, composed of librarians from across the McGill University library system, has been constituted by the Dean of Libraries to determine the future of information literacy at McGill University. Within a time frame of 6 to 8 months, the working group will articulate the value and purpose of librarians in promoting the core competencies of information literacy at McGill, guided by the ACRL standards, and devise a realizable plan for information literacy programming system-wide. So the plan will take into consideration four things. One, current practices at McGill Library. Two, feedback gained from broad consultation within the library and the university. Three, best practices found in the literature and demonstrated by peer institutions. And four, outcomes shaping the university's mission and strategic plan. So the result will be an accessible, sustainable approach to information literacy across campus. That's what I need it.
My part. So far, actions that we've taken so far, we've come to a consensus of what we mean when we speak of information literacy. We've reviewed information literacy practices across campus in consultation with other members of our branches and the challenges we face in promoting IL skills on campus. We have confirmed our belief that the library should continue to be involved in information literacy at McGill, and we have begun articulating desired elements of a future information literacy program at McGill. And the group's next steps include, among several of other steps, aligning information literacy with various outcomes articulated by the university and various relevant external bodies, investigating practices at peer institutions, and investigating ways of evaluating information literacy and its effectiveness. And one final point, we wish to hear from everyone interested in this topic, so please contact your branch library representative or speak to April or me directly. Thank you.
We're doing cool stuff already. Let's see if I can fix it, please. In the meantime, Giovanna. Is Giovanna here? Oh, sorry. My one spot.
I didn't try running because otherwise I'd already be out of breath. Don and I are the co-chairs of the Reserves Enhancements Working Group, and we have basically two goals. One goal is to perform an audit of what's happening now with print and electronic reserves in all of the branch libraries. We're basically looking at what works and what doesn't work with our reserve systems across the McGill Library system. What we want to do is make, if there's any recommendations for changes to policies or procedures if they're not currently working. Another goal is also to determine the best system for integrating reserves, i.e. basically where should we be putting links to print and electronic reserves to make it one-stop shopping for our students. And what we've done so far is we've started with an audit or getting information from all of the branch libraries to see what's happening with the reserve system. So we've finished that step. And now we're starting to look at the systems, which one, the systems that are available to us, i.e. Aleph, WorldCat, Desire to Learn, RefWorks with Summon, to see which one we can use to make one-stop shopping for the students. Thank you.
Single service point, Maya.
Amber Lannon and I are co-leads of the Single Service Point Working Group. We've met a couple of times. We've developed our terms of reference. Our purpose is to implement a single service point model in all of the branches. We've started by developing a report on the status of the desk or desks in terms of what is happening at each of the branch, where things stand now. The terms of reference and the report that we've drafted already are already available on the U Drive if anyone is interested in taking a look. And that's it.
The person getting the most exercise is me, Julia.
Hi, I'm co-chairing the Sustainability Working Group with Genevieve Gore, who I don't think is here. We've only met once. We're a spirited group, lots of ideas. And right now we are focusing on kind of getting the lay of the land with regard to sustainability at McGill. Many of you probably know that there's an Office of Sustainability. So at our next meeting, Kathleen Ng from the Office of Sustainability will be coming to let us know what is already happening on campus and kind of how things work. Unlike a lot of the other groups, we're really, a lot of our ideas will probably be connected to procedures that are outside of the library. So that will be complicated, but also interesting. And we're working towards an initial audit, kind of an environmental scan, figure out where we are. And our ideas, we're looking at them always through the lens of whether or not it's a local library level thing that we can do, or if it's connected to another process on campus, in which case it's a little more complicated. We encourage suggestions. Please talk to anyone on the group. We really, really need all your ideas as well. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Louise, document delivery.
Okay, I'm chairing the document delivery group with Deanna Cowan. And a word about our mandate. Last year's LibQual indicated the delivery of library materials to faculty offices and departments should be a basic service. Our mandate is to figure out how to make that happen. The timeline is an initial target date of fall 2012, the beginning of the term, but it will depend on the implementation and testing of Aleph 21. Currently, we're in the information gathering phase. We're investigating delivery policies and procedures at other comparable universities for both books and copied material. We are getting input from Isabelle Roberge on the possible impact of the delivery to faculty offices and departments through campus, or the impact on campus mail services, on porters, faculty administrative staff, and ancillary services. We're looking to see how much Aleph can do to automate the processes, and we're looking to see if we need any special supplies to make it happen. Our plan is to get interbranch deliveries working to and from all libraries, which is basically a borrowing thing, but will be helpful for us to see it up and running. And then we are going to test delivery of photocopies to faculty departments and offices, then books, and then we are going to develop appropriate documentation and go live.
Thank you. Space plan, Amy. Amy, no, Jessica.
So Amy and I are co-leading the McLennan Redpath Space Planning Group. So for those of you who have seen other Dean's Corners, you know there are big plans to reimagine, renovate the McLennan Redpath complex. As such, this plan, the scope for us, though, is primarily to focus on obtaining feedback from the stakeholders in the redesign of the first floor of the McLennan Red Path complex. As you know, there's students, there's faculty, we have visitors. There's a lot of different stakeholders involved. So right now we've already sort of brainstormed who the stakeholders are, and the next step is to figure out how do we get feedback from them in an efficient quantitative kind of way. And the other, right, one great suggestion we've already been looking at, or that Marika is going to implement, is a whiteboard that's going to be placed, a movable whiteboard that's going to be placed in the McLennan complex for people to write down. I think that the question was, if you could redesign this floor, what would it look like? And so letting students kind of come up and write down some suggestions. So that's one of feedback approach we're already going into. And I think that's it.
RDA, Chris.
Hi. Not everybody probably knows what RDA is, so I'm just going to start off by giving you just a quick idea about what RDA is. So it's a new international standard, and you'll notice that the word cataloging does not appear in the name. It's resource description and access. And because this standard moves beyond traditional cataloging, and in a certain sense, library cataloging is like one flavor. It's a broader sort of metadata standard. And it was intentionally designed for the digital world, not only in terms of being able to describe all sorts of electronic resources, but also designed to function in the web, to get our metadata out of the silo that it's in within the library, locked into a Mark 21 record, but get that data out there on the web, have it as data that's structured to function in the linked data environment of the semantic web, and also be able to be actionable by batch processing in an automated environment. So the working group on RDA implementation has actually got a target goal for implementation at McGill, which is March 31st, 2013. So we've already got our little ticking thing about how many days left to implementation. Initial implementation will not see the full potential of RDA being realized. Initial implementation is still going to be happening in a Mark 21 environment in our ALF catalog, in WorldCat Local, so very much the environment that we're used to. But what happens with RDA is that when we start implementing RDA, it's like we start on a new path. And part of it is because it's a new way of thinking about our bibliographic data as data. So our role in the working group is to guide this implementation at McGill and to prepare. And when we talk about preparing, we're not just preparing in isolation here by ourselves, but we're trying to keep in step with the whole like North American cataloging community, that of course comes first, but also the rest of the RDA community who will also be looking at implementation in the first quarter of 2013. So we want to, of course, develop our in-house expertise, and that's one of the first things to make sure that the project is successful so that a lot of people understand or are able to use and answer questions about RDA. It also means that we have to look at all of the documentation we've got in collection services to see what needs to be revised, what needs to be changed in light of implementing RDA. Now the big thing, and we've already started focusing on this issue of training. Now when we talk about training, we're not just talking about us in collection services. Like obviously we have to know how to create RDA bibliographic records, RDA authority records. But we also want to make sure that anybody in the library system who's encountering an RDA bibliographic record or authority record will understand the changes. So we are also looking at preparing some familiarization. It's not really like training. We're not going to make you do homework, but there are going to be sessions so that everybody can become familiar and comfortable with the changes that are coming. And then, of course, we're going to consult. There may be areas where we need to make decisions here locally, and if we need to make decisions locally, we'll, of course, want to consult with our whole library community. So you will be hearing from us, and it's going to be an exciting year.
Thank you, Chris. I also have to mention, in case people don't generally know, that Chris has been asked by the American Library Association to write the manual for RDA. So, yeah. So if we don't understand it, we know how to, we know who to go to. We'll be looking for the second edition. Thank you all for being very prompt. Thank you. Thank everybody for all of their great work. I can tell that this is exciting and that people are excited about the projects that they're involved in. We'll be asking for such reports to be done at Dean's Corner for each group until all of the work is done. So I really do thank you, and I hope that everybody stays on track. A reminder to the ADs that they're resource people, and everybody, if you need help, you go to your ADs for whatever, you know, if you go into a blind alley or a dead end or whatever and you don't know how to get out, then you go to your AD and they'll help you. They'll help you manage to turn around and go the right way. Next, we're going to talk about, we're going to do an HR update. And I'd like to just take a moment to, don't read this, listen to me, I should have gone back. There's one thing I would like to announce very quickly, and this is to, really it's geared to our non-academic staff, so to our staff and to our M's. We are going to be, the university is putting together a one-time, and it truly is one-time, very short time frame to make a decision, a one-time retirement incentive program. This is not for academic staff, okay? I want to make that really clear. This is for everybody else. There will be training sessions, not training sessions, but informational sessions next week. And this is for everybody who will turn 60 during calendar year 2012 and older. Each person within that group will be invited. I will be personally invited to attend one of the informational sessions next week, and a specific program outlining the details of your retirement scenario will be given to you and will be discussed there. So I'm not going to go into this any further. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew about it, and it is something that everybody who falls within that, who is eligible, will really want to attend one of these sessions. It's really important that you have retirement information at this point in time, and you will have your specific information. With that, I'll turn it over to Isabel.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just maybe a little note to your announcement. It is not a university, but a library retirement incentive program. So it's designed for the libraries only. And the information session will be held on April 10, and I will be accompanied by John DeGatta and his team from the pension office, Kathleen Tobin from the benefits department to talk about benefits, post-retirement benefits, and also Lynn Gervais. So anybody who will receive the invitation, please come. So that aside, let's talk about some HR updates. Concerning the collective agreement, we were happy to report last week that the last issues that needed to be resolved before finalizing the text were resolved last week. So everybody's working really hard into finalizing the text, and as soon as we'll get closer to a signing date, more information concerning information session on the changes, the distribution of the collective agreement, and also salary increases will be communicated. On the recruitment side, we are still looking for candidates for the four positions that you see there, AD Digital Initiative, the Ed Librarian for Osler, a Liaison Librarian for Rare Books, and also the replacement of a maternity leave in Shoe Lake Library. Most of those postings are closing around April 15, so we're still accepting applicants. Since our last HR update, we have closed two postings, One of them is for life science and the replacement of Marika, communication administrator. So we'll be starting the interview shortly, and expect to receive an invitation also for the job talk for the liaison librarian in the life science library. Since our last update, we have offered the position of e-resources to Don McKimmon, and Don joined Collection Services on March 19th, so we wish her all the best and success in her new role. And we said farewell to Marissa Antonucci last Friday. Marissa decided to retire, and as she mentioned to me, it was time for her to start doing things that she wanted to do, instead of doing things that Joseph wanted her to do. So that's it for me. I kept my 2 minutes. Whew.
Thank you, and thank you particularly for correcting what I was saying in terms of the retirement incentive program being a university-wide program. It is a library program. It's not open to anybody else but to us. And I used the word university because I wanted to make sure that people understood that we really are getting the right expertise here to speak to everybody. Lynn Gervais, John DeGatta, and Kathleen Tobin. So whatever questions you have, they'll be able to be answered there. As everyone can tell from just the strategic planning update that we have just gone through, that since I've been here, I've said that the only thing that I can guarantee you is change. And that has been true actually since I became a librarian and a long time ago, toward the end of the 1970s. And I feel like I've gotten on a treadmill and it has just sped up and sped up and sped up. But there's no doubt that we will be doing things differently in a lot of areas now. So that this whole scenario and your whole work environment is something for people to consider really seriously in thinking about what they want to do in terms of their work lives and their private lives. With that, I'll ask Francisco to come and give us a facilities update.
Not Francisco, but you probably figured that out already. I was asked to give a brief update on the renovations to the Humanities and Social Sciences Library, which we've actually been planning since this time last year now, although we've had a few changes along the way. I'll be very brief, though, but I'll remind you just off the top that those renovations involve moving our service point to the McLennan lobby and closing the loans desk that is in Redpath. And along with that, we'll also be moving the staff that work at that desk and creating a self-serve reserve room in the space that was formerly known as the e-classroom. So shown here is a staff layout for the new staff zone that will be in McLennan. And this was distributed to staff already. The staff that will be moving have already seen this. And I'll be working with my team over the next few weeks to determine where exactly people will sit and how we'll actually go about doing that move. There's also soon going to be a layout for the actual desk. It's just undergoing a few final revisions before we can reveal it to everyone, but that will be coming out soon. And that has had considerable input from the staff that that will be working at the desk, and that's why it's gone through so many revisions, because we've shared the revisions and got and made changes as we went along the way. And just very briefly, there has been, if you've been in McLennan recently, you've probably noticed that things are happening in the soon-to-be self-serve reserve room. In fact, today they're putting up the shelves, but we've already installed some of the self-checkout machines, the security gates, as well as the new compact shelving for the AV material that will be going into that room. So that room will soon be ready for us to move the materials down the hall. So for that part, we are on track right now. Turn it over to Francisco.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Now, on my end, I'm just going to talk about CyberMeth, and I want to show you this 3D layout that we got. On the last Dean's Corner, we just showed the basic one, but this one has now more detail. Basically, what we see here, this is going to be the 24-hour access right in here. So students will be able to access the building from street level. Right in here, there's going to be 9 group study rooms, which are basically this section in here. There's 4. There's another one here at the back, 2, and 1 in here. They're all going to be group study rooms. The main section, it can house, there's 3 different groups of 80 students that can handle, or these are movable walls. So if we want, we can do one complete section, one complete classroom of 240 staff. In terms of the comfy area and so on, it's going to be this section, which is the side of the building that has more glass, windows, and everything. So we're trying to use the natural light, making sure we do a good use of it, and then having the students and the big classrooms on the back as well. Another thing to mention here is that all this section is going to be the washrooms and so on that is going to be upgraded to handle the capacity on the floor. In total, we're talking about 450 students that the floor will be able to support. And I just wanted to show you real quickly what was the layout, what are the developments that we're doing. If there's any comments, for sure, please send it to us. And again, it's just to mention that this project is in conjunction with libraries, teaching and learning, and Faculty of Medicine. Turn it over to you, Colleen.
Just a couple more things about emergency management that I simply forgot to say. As a reminder, if you ever need to call McGill Security, it's 3000. Remember to carry your McGill ID with you all the time. While we're in this period of time, it's probably not a bad idea to do it anyway. And we will have representatives from security services who are scheduled for our next Dean's Corner to do on the 26th of April, which is our... Okay, we hope to have them on the 26th of April, and then we'll all of your branch heads have already attended a presentation by them, and hopefully that information has gotten back to you. Okay, so I entertain questions. This is a fairly short, concise, information-packed Dean's Corner, but if there are any questions from near or far, any questions from afar? Nope. Yes. I'll repeat it.
Sorry, I hope it works. My name's Nancy. I work in Hustle. And it's a real personal choice when we decide to retire, and I'm happy that if people can swing it at 60. But I'm wondering, for those of us, I mean, I appreciate you just telling us this for the first time, right? It's new information, but I'm kind of wondering what happens to those jobs that the positions that the people leave that are fortunate enough to retire. You know, will labor be abolished, or will new staff be hired into them? Or because like we work hard, right? And I'm just wondering, are we sort of expected to be doing more with less? And I ask that kind of respectfully and in a friendly way. Thanks.
I do understand that, yeah. That you're asking that respectfully and in a friendly way. That's exactly how it sounded. The question is that if people take the retirement incentive, how will those open positions be filled? And how will that work be absorbed? And for some time, the answer to that is that for some time in all research libraries, as McGill's is, any position that's come open has been actually academic staff, so it's librarian and staff, any position that comes open. We carefully look at the work that needs to be done in the current environment, and we decide on a case-by-case basis in whether we should fill the position exactly how it was constructed before, or whether we need to do something different. And so basically, it all depends upon the environment at that point in time. Okay, other questions? Brian.
I noticed there are a lot of new librarian hires in life sciences and Schulich. Hustle has lost a lot of librarians in the last little while, and I'm just wondering, will there be any hires in that area?
The question was the librarian vacancies that who have left, I guess most of them have retired. I don't know if they've all retired from humanities, social sciences. Actually, I could give the exact same answer as I just did, that with every position that comes open, we really look carefully at what needs are, and then we decide on a case-by-case basis whether we think that we can, whether we think that we need to fill them, and if we need to fill them immediately or maybe later. So right now, the positions that you see advertised, the ones that we tell you about, that really is the story. There's not any other agenda than what you see, than what we're giving you. So there are no immediate plans to fill those, to fill what used to be the constellation of positions that existed before. Let me just say this. There is, I think that this is, and with respect to Brian, because I know that a lot of people have wondered, and I'm really glad you asked this question. Librarians and library staff have the most phenomenal memories of any group of people on the planet. I promise you that I could ask half a dozen people in this room who was the person in a given job and who the person was in that job previously, and whether there were retirements, splits, joinings, whatever, marriages. And, you know, you have to try your best just not to do that. You really do. Because the only way, absolutely the only way that we exist in research libraries right now is to be agile. And that means that we look at the money that we have at any point in time, and we put our money toward the priorities that exist at a given time within really a 3-year framework. I recently gave a talk at the management library class in the School of Information Studies. And I could talk about anything I wanted to talk about. And so I decided that I would talk about all those things that I never learned in my library management class. And so that's like 98% of my job. And one of the things that I mentioned there that I got questions actually from the instructors on was, why do I say that our planning framework really is 3 years? And it's the way it is. I mean, all of my colleagues, meaning the other ARL directors, are all working within these very short time frames. And it's just a fact of life. I can tell you that we have done amazing things that, I mean, just in terms of accommodations, just in the 15 months that I have been here. There have been pretty significant changes within the budget structure, not in terms of overall budget within collections, for instance, except we've added a lot of one-time money to collections that we had as a result of some of the fact that we hadn't hired an AD. Had a lot of money left from that. And so we could take that money, spend it on collections. We just have to be able to act very, very quickly. And so there's nothing I can guarantee you but change. And, you know, this incredible memory that all of you have, which is a strength, but also, you know, that there was no perfect paradise in library land that we just have to try to find our way back to. If anybody knows of that, then I will doubt your credibility. nicely and respectfully. But okay, so other questions? No questions from afar? Is there anybody paying attention? Okay. Okay. There are. No other questions. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. 26th again. And we will tell you where. Or do we know where? Where? McIntyre. Okay, you have to watch the last slide because Marika works hard on these. So, thank you. Thank you. I know.